If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Listick Behind the Curtain, our weekly opportunity to take a look at the world of theater and the arts in Chicago. Later in the show, I'll be talking to the cast and creative team for the Chicago Bar Association's Christmas Spirit Show. It's its 102nd year. But first, we kick things off where the dress could have been a little darker with Phantom of the Opera, which is playing at the Cadillac Theater through February 1st, one of the classics of all time. It, in my view, changed theater, as they would say in Wicked, for good, but it certainly changed theater and what we know by creating a certain genre. Let's talk about it. My guest is Lisa Vroman. She plays Madame Giry in Phantom of the Opera, kind of a dark role. We're going to talk about that. But Lisa, the thing is, when I look at your background, I mean, Oklahoma, The King and I mean, there's all this light, happy stuff going on. And then in comes Phantom, where, by the way, in the past, you have played Christine.
For a very long time, I have to say. You know, when you say light and frothy, I mean, I was bred and brought up to be an ingenue. You know, your idol is Julie Andrews. I'm a soprano. I'm relatively small. And so you're just cast in that position all the time. So those are the roles that you get. And Phantom, Christine, came along at the right time, and I got to play her for 10 years.
So I guess in time, like in Les Mis, you were also Fantine and Cosette. Not Cosette.
Not simultaneously.
So I'm sort of curious. I mean, when you're with a show for a long time, like when you go from Christine and then you become an older role, is it a matter of, hey, I've been around a long time, it's just time to shift the role? How does that happen?
Well, I left it over 20 years ago. So I had kind of not intended, and maybe I teach in a university. I do concert work with symphonies all over the world, which is more shorter term, and you can have a life and stay home. Theater is very uprooting for time to time. But after the 10 years of Phantom, I sort of was, you know, aging out of that category. Mm. So hireability is an issue of what type you are, what kind of character you could do. In the meantime, I was able to then move into the King and I's and the leading lady roles that I missed, Marrying the Librarian, you know, and the Music Man that I got to do with Shirley Jones playing my mom, which was, let's say, a bucket list. That was a very good one. And to be with her was special. This came out of the blue. They asked me if I was interested, and I at first said no, because I thought, how can I do this again? Can I tour again? Do I want to go back into that show? And what is this role like for me now? Because I've seen it for 35 years, played by so many different people.
Yeah. And by the way, I actually first saw it in 1988 in New York.
Did you?
I had turned 30 and friends kidnapped me, took me to New York. Everything was a surprise. Friends showed up at every dinner, at every everything. And one of the surprises was tickets to Phantom of the Opera, which at that time with Michael Crawford, you could not get tickets.
No.
So you can imagine the thrill. I think everybody knows the story of Phantom of the Opera, but I can't be sure. There are young people who don't. So
How
do you capitalize the story?
I mean, it stopped for 2 years, and now we are retelling this story to another age group, and they are having their effect on this new wave of theater kids that are dying to see it. I mean, we have had kids at the stage, they know the story. They've seen the movie, mm-hmm. which is out. There's so much more social media than there was back in our, you know, olden days, where everybody captured video, everybody put content up, everybody had the story out there in the mainstream all the time. We just don't have access to that. You know, we have more access to that now.
Yeah.
So all the kids come really, they know the story. They're prepared when they come in.
What's amazing to me about this production, and I know part of what Andrew Lloyd Webber's vision is, as you said, it kind of went away for a couple of years. This, as I watched it, I was there on opening night, and this was, it's like a return to the beginning. It's like, let's get that Broadway magic and bring it. You know, unlike, with all due respect, Les Mis, which is turned to the world of projections and all that kind of stuff, and it's fine. But here it's like, no, let's bring back the props. Let's bring back the things. This is pretty much as we would have seen it on Broadway, or certainly the first National
Well, it's when I was on Broadway for 3 years, this feels the same. It does. They have added some technology. Let's face it, it's improved, and they can make use of that. Lighting is improved. The sound, I think, is much, sound equipment is, it's so crisp and so real right now for us. It's a better kind of a better experience, a little heightened, but it is Hal Prince's vision, Maria Bjornson's design, Gillian Lynn's choreography. They've heightened, they've, you know, kind of made it kind of a little like just new in a way, but not changing it.
And high energy. You know? Let's talk about Madame Giry, by the way. I mean, look, people watching us now, I mean, they're seeing this brightness about you, this whatever. There's such energy around you. Okay, that ain't Madame Giry. We're going to call that acting because you are this, look, we see you, you're in black, you're dark. And Madame Giry, to me, seems to know a lot more about what's going on than anybody else on that stage. I don't mean you, Lisa. I mean, but Madame Giry, she gets it. She knows. She like has the story.
Well, she knows everything. I mean, and she's such a, she's a conduit, and she's been, you know, people say, oh, is she in cahoots? I said, I think they're protecting each other. You know, I don't need to tell you my, all my backstory stuff, but I think her status, her life depends on the Phantom taking care of her and vice versa. So she's, That's a stable relationship for her. She's, you know, there's, seems like she's a single person, single mother. And in that period, that was, you know, something difficult to manage.
Yeah.
And so the new managers come in and everything is threatened. And I think that's where it starts snowballing from there.
And of course, you have, she, Madame Giry, has a daughter who's around and stuff. I wouldn't say as a mom, she's sort of a Mrs. Cleaver, Leave It to Beaver thing going on.
No, not really. But I think she's desperately trying to protect her also.
In playing this sort of, is it fair enough to call it a dark role? I mean, I think it's sort of a dark role. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, I think her humanity, as the fear she comes from and what she's threatened by, dictates that. And she's very, you know, who knows what trauma has been in her life before that. So I think she's very contained.
This, because it strikes me as so not you, it's not Lisa Roman. Do you step in and say, I'm having fun being something? Oh. Or do you say, oh no, there's more Madame Giry in me than you realize?
I'm having a ball playing this and seeing how her role adds to all of that storytelling for the show. And for me, you know, I played Christine for 10 years. I carried those costumes. They are no joke. They're heavy. She sings the entire show. And coming back to this was kind of, can I tour again? Do I want to? I get to wear one dress. And I have offstage time, and it's just incredible.
It's perfect.
And I get to be part of the company, which is, I can't even tell you how lovely the company is. They're a great group of people.
On opening night, I sat next to Jennifer Lyons, who is my old boss at WGN, and now she's over at CBS. But her son, who sat next to her, is Casey Lyons, who, of course, starred as the kid in Love Never Dies and did the whole national tour on that. So as I said, what does it feel like, Casey, to kind of watch the prequel to what's going on? And he's like, get me back on stage.
Yeah.
Is it cool for you when you are performing, you have somebody, I know Love Never Dies is not Phantom, but I mean, but having somebody in the audience who's sort of been on that stage, either in your show or in a different show before.
It's incredible. Opening our first night, I had three people who started the Music Box tour with me in the company. And I had left that tour to go take over or to open the San Francisco production and play that 5 years. But these people, because you built the company together, they're still my family. And they were blown away, and they just see me still as Christine.
Yeah.
And they were kind of had to get their heads wrapped around what I was doing, and they were in love with it, and it meant a lot to them. It was wonderful for me to have them there.
And the music, music. I mean, the music of the night and the music of the rest of the show. This is an Andrew Lloyd Webber clag. And do you also agree with me that this was the kicker of, I put Les Mis, I put Miss Saigon, I put him in this new created opera-like Broadway genre. So people who aren't sophisticated enough to handle opera like me can say, oh, I'm kind of getting it here.
Well, you know, they've also gone with the casting of this particular company. They really went heavy into the opera world. We have Midori or Carlotta, who is an high note ever ready bunny, I call her. Just brilliant. Both of the Christines sing like angels. They're darling girls. A lot of opera singers in the ensemble. And then we have our leader, Isaiah, who, where does that voice come from? I mean,
I don't know.
another planet. I mean, he is as beautiful as his voice is outside. His soul, his leadership, his being is just glorious. So it's to have that as our leader is, that kind of like trickles down to the company, that joy.
Yeah, Isaiah performed on our midday news, and they told me, I wasn't there at the time, but they told me that the vibes inside the studio were just unbelievable. I mean, the producer said it was incredible. His voice is so amazing, and the passion as they tell this story. The thing about the Phantom, you don't know whether to love him or hate him or whatever, but Isaiah has the ability to say, you know what? I know I pity him, but I care for him. And maybe he's not the nicest guy, but I care.
You have to care. I mean, otherwise, why? There's no reason for the play to continue. I mean, when I started as Christine, I don't know if I liked her very much. I thought, wow, she's a whiny, codependent, bred to be, codependent ingenue. And then after a while, you cannot continue to play a character, much less right now. I had to find the dimension of Madame Giry to care for her, for me to care for her, me to care for her story, me to want her to survive. Because you can't play a year not really enjoying the person you're with.
Can you hang with me? Because unfortunately, we have to go to commercial break here. But on Monday, this show is over on the WGNRadio.com side. And if people watch us again there, they can hear sort of a bonus conversation. Can you hang with me for a little bit?
I mean the real dark stuff underneath.
The real dark stuff is what we're coming back for. But for those who don't want to wait for then, you can see Phantom of the Opera through February 1st at the Cadillac Palace Theater. I want to talk to you about performing in that space as well. You can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. This is a show not to be missed. It's one of the classics of all time. Welcome back to a bonus conversation for Phantom of the Opera. I'm talking to Lisa Roman. She plays Madame Giry in the show. You got to go see the show if you don't know it and not sure who that is. We've talked about that. But Lisa, I want to ask you, you were in this show. You played Christine, which is a female lead in this show. And you did that for a very long time, but then you stepped away from the show for a long time. Can you talk about what it's like to come back, not only come back to the show, but then come back in a different role?
Oh, I mean, it's been a joy, really, but the decision to come back after all of that time was, can you tour physically again? Is it going to feel the same? Are you going to be happy playing the role here? And I was in the show when I worked with Gillian Lynn on two shows with Aspects of Love on Broadway and Phantom. And Maria Bjornsson also designed Aspects of Love and Phantom with me, our incredible designer. And Hal Prince, who I first heard me going on as the second Christine on the tour, shotgun with no rehearsal. He picked me out of that from that show and had me open the San Francisco company. And for the next 10 years, he was my champion. So that's a wonderful time of your life. Do you want to challenge that to come back and do this? And is the show going to be the original? That was another thing. Our director, Seth Sklar-Hane, was determined to honor their legacy with making it work for today's technology and today's audience. And he's done an incredible job making us this cohesive, forward-driven company. I think you could tell from the energy when you saw it, this company wants this show to be great all the time.
And well, there's two pieces of that. Number one, I mean, this is not just let's put it up again. I mean, this is Andrew Lloyd Webber, whatever, and that team deciding they are embarking on a multi-year national tour. There's been lots of decisions made. So, as you said, the decision was to take it back to the beginning, but it's also multi-year. You've just talked about the travel part of this and all that. So, out of curiosity, do they sign you all for a year at a time, or you sign
It's a
up?
year it's a year contract for that. And I also make a contract with my husband to say, can we do this and sustain it? We love our life. I teach in university and I'm singing concerts all over, which I had to give up a few of them, excuse me, to do this, kind of clear your life out a little bit. But the second 6 months are mostly on the West Coast. That's where I live. So it's going to be easier for us to go back and forth on there. So we'll go month by month and see how it feels. But so far, so good. I'm
Gotcha.
so happy I made the decision to do it because it's being around the theater people again, and there's some old guard, there's some new, And having us here, I think, is really beneficial for all the actors who have never done the show before. It's
Yeah.
they're using us for their spirit animals, I think, just about.
Well, do you find do the actors who haven't done it before come to people like you who have? And is it a, talk to me, give me some tips, or is it I'm doing my own thing?
Oh, you know what? I've had no. It's I've had you know, Christine is it's a difficult role. She's on the stage the entire time, and in rehearsal, both of the girls both tried to take me aside a little bit. Could you explain this to me? Could you explain this? And I'm saying I can't, because what I thought about 20 years ago is not what it is now for you, and you will find it. You know, I love you. I'm your biggest fan. I can tell you which foot should be over which underneath the negligee when you get out of the boat, so you can look graceful. I mean, that's the kind of thing that will help.
That would be, you're right. Stop
Yeah,
falling out of the boat.
but the
By the
clothing
way, I'm
is difficult.
curiosity. You intrigued me with that comment. Can you, is there any example you can give me where you would say, I can't answer that one for you?
In particular, but there's some scenes that don't make perfect three-dimensional sense.
Okay.
You know, and there are some moments in it that she just has to figure out how to play this, but it has to be for that individual, how they are feeling. And in rehearsal, it's frustrating when you can't, it's not like, oh, here it is. It's not completely clear. The story, and each of them have a different story. They're not the same. You know, they're doing the same blocking, the same story. They're doing the same words, the same music, but each Christine is built on who they are,
Well,
too. So.
and every phantom. I mean, I saw it with Michael
Oh
Crawford. I've saw it with many in between. Isaiah just strikes me as
yeah.
just different in his take on this
Yeah.
role than what I've seen before.
His humanity is so comes oozing through him. And it's his voice too. His voice leads him
Yeah.
to that, but it's such a beautiful instrument that, you know, you said people were in the audience and in the studio kind of going, "Wow, what a voice." We're backstage doing that every show.
Wow.
You know, listening to him.
How involved, if at all, was Andrew Lloyd Webber this time around? The show's been around 40 years. Is he like playing a role? He's like going, you guys, you take it. I just want this to be
Well,
good.
you know, I think they videotaped when we went in to meet with Cameron McIntosh and sent them to him, so because he had to okay everyone.
With Cameron or Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Both of them,
Okay.
you know, very hands-on. Cameron was spent a lot of time in rehearsal with us. Lloyd Webber came to our last two previews, so he sat through two shows and you know, gave us his notes and his blessing. So it was nice to have him there.
Do you, I mean, you've been around a long time, you've worked with these people. I mean, I think if Andrew Lloyd Webber walked in on me or whatever, it would be like Stephen Sondheim walking in and be like, ha, nah, I couldn't talk. Or do you say, no, I've been doing Broadway a long time, I'm good.
Never gets old. Never. I mean, Cameron McIntosh has always been incredible to me, and it was great to see him again, and great that I'm so happy that he's happy. You know that. You know, like I said, he bought me my house. This show,
Could he buy me one?
indirectly, huh?
Please ask him to buy me one.
Yeah, could he buy me my house? You know, and now with this year, it's like for me, it's yet another gift from these people. So I'm really looking at it like that. Like kind of.
The music is been around for a long time. It's to me some of the most classic songs of all time, and I'm sort of curious to ask. Do you ever, I feel like this is like such a simple question, but do you get tired of singing it, or is it new every night? Is it, can you
No.
listen to music of the night for the 40th year and say I'm good?
You know, it's I think for me, I like repetition, and there's so much detail in the show with the music and your voice and how you're using it. If you let down and pretend, start to burn out, and if you're bored, something's going to suffer. And the show, you're responsible for telling that story to a new audience also. And if you can't do that, why do this for a
Yeah, why in
living?
a show?
Why,
Yeah.
you know, I played Christine for inside of 10 years. And people ask me, "Oh, were you bored?" I said, "Never bored. Not 1 minute." It's a lot of repetition, and yet you have to fight for it sometimes every day.
Well, and every
You
night
do not feel the same.
it's live theater. So I mean, anything
Yeah.
can happen at any time and any night. It's not a movie.
But we're also touring. So each city is a new breath of
Yeah.
a new theater, a new audience, a new we had to move, we had to so it's there's a little more energy involved with touring, I think. It's a little easier than sitting in one place day in, day out for years.
You should not be anywhere in Chicago except where you are at the Cadillac Palace Theater. It was like
Oh, it's beautiful.
it could have been the Opera House, right?
Yeah.
At that time. So I'm curious. First of all, on the tour, to your knowledge, Are you always in that kind of like the Fox Theater in St. Louis? Is it always that kind of theater, or do you sometimes say, no, actually, sometimes we're in a very modern place?
I can't say as I know. I don't know what the Buell is like in Denver. Is that an
I'm not
old-fashioned?
sure. I don't know that
I'm not
theater.
quite sure with some of them. I
But is
played
that part of the
Les Mis.
feeling for you? Is being in that kind of
Yeah.
Cadillac classic space part of what helps make this show happen?
It's great. It's extremely classic backstage. It's a little cold right now, so we're having our crossover is like through a little bit of a cold avenue, and the girls are a little bit chilly, but it fits well in here. It's a lot of stuff backstage, so it's a little bit different configuration each time.
So
We
I
have a
want to ask you a question. I didn't ask you on the TV side because this will be a just secret information for those watching us here. I have this memory, and I asked Casey, our friend from Love Never Dies. He has the same memory I do, though not from Broadway because he's much younger. But I remember seeing this on Broadway and the chandelier, and you got the chandelier, it's hanging and it dropped. My memory on Broadway is that it came down and came onto the stage.
Yes,
Is
it's
that a
different.
correct memory and they just can't do it now because they don't have the technology
Well,
for it?
it's not that they can't. It's that that was, motors and winching, and it's a certain kind of traveling with that, where it fits, how the hang
So that did
is.
happen. I'm right in my
It
memory.
did happen. Plus, the shape of it was a little bit different. The original opera house chandelier in Paris, the Garnier Palace, is round, and so now we have that perfect round shape again. And the one that came into the stage, it kind of was a little oblong to fit there when it came down. And it's kind of your eye doesn't notice that
Right.
right away, but that's kind of what happened. But that's a little different. And they've added a few things that were but everything is based on Maria Bjornsson's original designs too, and it honors all of that. And people make decisions because of what fits where and what can
Yeah.
travel, and so that's, I'm not privy to all of that, but I think sometimes change is good.
Oh yeah. I was just curious. And I find the chandelier is almost a character, so I always sit kind of down
Oh
front. I always
yeah.
sit in the second row and I'm kind of nudging my partner all the time because I notice when you look up at that chandelier, it has its lines. There are times it's flashing or
Oh.
it's whatever. I mean, you got to know what it's doing to see what's happening. Of course, I also had some friends sitting underneath it who were terrified the whole time, but it's like keep your eye on that chandelier.
Yeah, you never know when it's going to drop on you. If
And which means the technical aspects of the show, the cues, I'm sure it's all computerized now and stuff, but
everything is, yeah, everything is, it's a lot more complicated, I
yeah.
think. But I think it's all enhanced. It's made it, for me, it's made it look so much richer. The colors, just like I said, the technology improves. Why shouldn't they take advantage of it
Yeah,
and
no,
use it?
absolutely.
We travel with six musicians, then we add on local musicians to fill out the orchestra, and they're always
Which sounds amazing, by the way. That
oh my
orchestra.
God, they're amazing. They're amazing, amazing. And I really just Kristen Blodgett, who was our original sound supervisor, a music supervisor, she taught me the show originally, and she's here. We had her all the way through rehearsals, and I'm so happy that the Again, the company that had never experienced the show had the benefit of her teaching it, her passion and her love for the show and her detail. Because it's showing through the company. They're really, the sound is amazing. The
Is
vocal
there
sound
anybody
is.
else? Is there anybody else in this company that shares your background of having done this years ago?
Oh, yeah. There's Scott Makita, who was a swing, who was a swing on New York for years and years. Trista Moldovan, who's another swing, was Christine in the Music Box tour until 2013. And then she went and did Carlotta on the. Like the new Fangled version was out for a while that I didn't see. Her husband, Steve Tewksbury, is in our show. He had done the show. Carrington Vilmont, who was the Andre, was on New York. In fact, when he started the show, he and I went on stage as Raoul and Christine together.
Oh, I love it. Well, also, by the way, sitting near me, do you know Rob Lindley? Because he was
Well,
Andre.
I saw him sing last night.
Oh, Rob was okay. He was one of the singers. He came with Heidi Kettenring, who was also Broadway. She was Wicked and all sorts of stuff. So
Yeah.
royalty here.
Because
And
he was in the show with Trista and Steve Tewksbury. He knows two
okay.
of them.
So you got to
So
visit with him.
yeah, I did.
He was here on
I
time, by
said
the way. He played.
I know
Go ahead.
his face. So I
Played
when he
in
finished.
Titanic here. He played Ruth in Titanic. If you've seen it, brought the house down every night. He's
I
just
bet.
such an incredible
Yeah,
talent.
so talented. It was his group was incredible. last night. There's so much talent here in Chicago, though.
Yeah.
It's a great city, a lot to do.
And I'm sorry. And so are you get I know you've got show 8 shows a week and all that. It's a tough schedule, but when you're here, do you is what do you prioritize? Is like get me to theater or get me to an art museum, or is it just get me to I need deep dish pizza at Luminati's? I mean,
No,
what?
get me food, get me to the gym to swim, and get my laundry done.
Ah,
And because the schedule is that we are the holiday for everyone. So like every actor or musician, this season, they're good earners, and
okay.
we'll have Christmas Day off, and then we'll do two, three double shows in a day, and you better be prepared. Make sure you have your undies washed for 6 or 7 days.
I love, but by the way, that's not enough time to like go home and spend Christmas, whatever, with the family. So that's
We
what life
know.
on the road is like.
I haven't been doing that for years. I missed my nieces growing up in Christmas. They're like,
Yeah.
"Where is she? She's in Phantom, or she's doing a concert." Because after Phantom finished, I did I'm in the Symphony World, and so they, it's I would be in a different city every weekend, or with Philly Pops for a month, or and all summer. Like I was at Grant Park Festival this summer doing Rodgers and Hammerstein. And it was easier to walk around the city in the summer than it was is now.
Was this the dream? Was this Lisa's dream as a little girl? Are you doing what the dream was?
I don't think so. My mother was a music teacher, choral director, and I was forced to be in the choir. Small town in upstate New York, and I use my hands a lot. You notice that? I'm like, there's a
Cool.
it's for emphasis. My dad was the undertaker in town, and we were it's
Oh.
you know it was a small kind of a thing. And yes, we did the musicals, but I was a tomboy, and I love sports, and I just followed my sister to college for a music education. And then my teachers were like, "We you should go to grad school." And so I did for opera, and I'm even there. I was like, "Gosh, I don't think I want to be this. I really like summer stock. I like my theater people." So I was kind of that, trying to fit into how do I fit into the musical theater world. At that time, being a soprano wasn't as it wasn't considered. It wasn't the same type as it is now. There's a lot of pop music, a lot of rock pop technique that's in musical theater that's coming up. And back then, you could be more of a classical singer and still work quite a bit. So that
So will we see
was
you as a Skylar sister going forward?
I probably not
Okay. Mom
Skylar mother.
Skylar.
But there's a lot more to do. I mean, I had the opportunity to, like I said, in those 20 years to do a lot of concert work, but all over the world, and do a few smaller theater pieces. I've d done Maria Callas in Masterclass,
Oh, Masterclass, yeah.
which I'd love to do again. Again, just putting it out there. And then The King and I, and then it's to do things like that are just so satisfying right now. The last season, I did a short run in the desert near LA, where I live, of the same-sex version of The Fantastic. So it was two mothers and two sons
Awesome.
instead of two fathers, and it was
The same play like they're doing with Company, right? Is
the
Let's Play with the
same
Devil,
thing,
right?
but it was they didn't change a thing in it,
Yeah.
and except I had to take over some of the singing of the Louisa part because she's a high soprano, and I was like, oh, I didn't sign up to sing all that.
In all the things you've talked about
But
that you've done, you've left something out. I don't
oh,
think we should leave
really?
it out. You had the opportunity to perform with, well, he's now a fairly older gentleman. He just turned 100.
Oh,
And
Mr. Sondheim?
no,
No,
Mr.
no.
Dick Van
Oh,
Dyke.
Mr. Dick Van Dyke.
Mr. Dick Van Dyke,
Mr.
were you
Sondheim.
not? Were did you not get to sort
I
of work with him?
did.
Yeah, exactly. I
He
know
was
that.
I back when there was the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra, and John Mo-Cherry, who was the conductor, asked me to come in and do a Disney celebration concert where I was Snow White for the first time. They brought out of the vault like a 17-minute segment from that original film, and Mary Costa, who was the Snow White in the recording, came and narrated. So I got to do that whole sequence, and then at the end of the act, I did a whole medley from Mary Poppins with Dick Van Dyke.
I mean, is that not, for me, that would be
Oh,
like the ultimate in my career.
I could have quit. Right, so I was like, I'm done. But
Exactly.
and
Tell
we
me
had
he was charming. Tell me he was right.
charming, delightful. Opened his door, said, "Come on in, kids, sit down," and just told stories the entire time. But in rehearsal, he looks at me and he said, "Oh, Lisa, there's a 13-bar break in Jolly Holiday, and would you like to do a dance?" And I thought you'd never ask. And he said, okay, when you finish, it's a jolly holiday with you, Bert. A jolly, jolly holiday with you. Bump, bump, bump. And remember that little goofy step they did? He said, there's this goofy step. And I stopped him and I said, I know the goofy step. The whole world knows the
The whole
goofy
world
step.
knows that. I can do the goofy step.
Kids have been jumping around their living room to that for a million years. And so the minute we did started that in the medley, it was the first time he moved. And it's the Hollywood Bowl is 18,000 people.
Then went nuts.
It was as if a bomb went off. Everybody started spontaneously screaming. And we were just, doing our little, and I thought, I am the luckiest girl in the entire world right
And I'm
now.
guessing he's also fairly humble too. I don't feel I doubt he said to you, "Watch what they do when I start this one."
Not at all. He was, and then he got frisky in a step in time number and started to kick, and then they started over again because he wasn't intending to do that. He started kicking step in time, and he turns around during it. He goes by me and he goes, "I'll never be able to walk tomorrow."
I love it. See, those are the kind of things we get to
Yeah.
share here that people don't know about. Oh,
He's
that's that,
ran,
that is just so wonderful.
I
Well,
got to meet, Sondheim and there's some certain things in my life. Did the PBS special of Sweeney Todd with Patti LuPone. I was the Joanna in that. And to spend a couple of weeks with not only George Hearn and LuPone and all those people, Vicky Clark, and when Sondheim walks in, it's just you just can't speak.
yeah.
Your heart is
I mean, thank
racing.
goodness. I think we always, I'll put me in this category with you, I've always had the kind of appreciation for Sondheim, but it's a good thing, I guess, that while
Oh.
he's sadly gone, he's not fading. If anything, he's bigger than he
Oh.
ever was as people now get him.
Yeah. When I saw the painting at the
Oh,
Art
Sunday in the
Institute,
park. Yep.
I got a little teary. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It was incredible
Yeah.
to
And
see
of course, I
that.
put that on last year with Sean Allen Krill. And yeah, it's just what careers, what
Genius.
people we've known. We're living in a good time.
We're grateful. There's a lot of that in this company. There's not a lot of tier one contracts. The pandemic, the industry, what goes on in the world right now, the arts are constantly threatened.
There.
And we're and but from day one, this entire group of people have been unbelievably grateful that we are here together doing this. So I think that energy really kind of transcends on in our performance
Yeah,
on the
so
road.
I'm so glad you are here. By the way, you mentioned reference before. I just want to clear this up. You mentioned the Music Box tour. I think people don't know that when shows tour, they kind of
They
name.
give them a name.
Yeah, and so what is this tour?
You'd ask me.
Sorry, oops. I know,
Oops.
like in Hamilton, it's the Skyler tour, it's the whatever tour, it's the.
I'm gonna say the wrong name.
Oh, but we won't know. You can make
I
something
don't
up.
know. I knew it.
We'll
I
make it
know
the
they said
Chandelier
it, and
Tour.
I'm.
We'll, let's call it the Chandelier Tour.
Let's call it the Giri tour. I'm just kidding.
The
The
Giri Tour.
chandelier, is it chandelier? I know.
I don't know. I made that
They're gonna
up.
kill me. I'll go
But
find out.
my point is the reason for doing that is because just a way of identifying that
Yeah,
particular group.
because they create a whole business. We are a floating company. So that becomes the whole the company name.
Gotcha.
So that I think we're the Box Five, actually.
Oh.
Come to think of it.
And what's that? What's the Box Five? What is the? Oh, Box Five. What am I? Of course, Box Five. And if you haven't seen Phantom of the Opera, viewers,
He
go
commands
see
that
the
you
show and you'll know
continue.
exactly what Box Five is.
He commands that you continue to leave Box Five empty for his use.
Exactly. And if you don't look out, I did ask if I could just play the role of the guy who's down in the orchestra pit with the gun, ready to go, because I could do that.
Could just pop up and then pop down,
Yes. I think my
and then.
line is like, "Are you there?" Yeah, I'm here.
But then you have to say, "But Monsieur,
I can do
but
that too.
Monsieur le Vicomte."
Je parle français, I can do it.
Yeah, but Monsieur le Vicomte.
Lisa Roman, thank you for all this time.
Oh,
I just
thank you.
really appreciate it. I will say again, Phantom of the Opera playing through February 1st at the gorgeous Cadillac Palace Theater, right where you belong. Tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. And I'm going to keep my eye on you because it will not be long before you are back here, whether it's in concert
I
or
hope
who knows
so.
what. I
I
don't have
love
a doubt because
Chicago.
your energy is contagious.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with me. I appreciate it. And thanks to all who are
Appreciate it.
watching us here. I'm behind the curtain. We'll see you next time.
Bye.